The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody in Radio Land. This is Fantasy Football's most valuable podcast. They call us the FFMVP. I'm here with only half of the set of brothers today, but don't worry, it's the good half. This is your host, Brett, and I'm joined by the baby brother, Corey. Corey, how the hell are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I just got my butt skewered in your Stanford 16-team league and got some good naps in between my picks, and so I'm just ready to get this football season kicked off.
Now, Corey, I noticed that you drafted Tony Romo in the first round, and you usually bring us the primary read, so you're sort of the keeper of all news items. What was the thinking there?
Well, this breaking news that I just received from Adam Schefter, who just sent me a Friendster message, said it's all been a big hoax. Tony Romo's back is just fine, and he's planning on going off and trying to set and break Tom Brady's touchdown single-season record.
Wow. That is why you have the inside info and win all your leagues. Well, we did just do a 16-team league. You might call that a man's league. It was deep. By the 11th, 12th round, we're drafting people I'd never heard of. But we'll get a little bit more into that. We're also, you know, this is the draft week. We're in between preseason weeks 3 and 4. So we've talked a lot about players throughout the last few weeks that we kind of like, kind of dislike. But tonight, Corey and I are going to lay down the law and tell you some sleepers and busts that you may judge us by. This is the Judge Us By This episode. I talked the very first episode 3 weeks ago about how I like Thomas Rawls. I'm not going to talk about him tonight because Christian Michael has shown up so much, I'm backing off Rawls a tiny bit. Tonight, we're going to bring you slightly more evolved opinions after absorbing 3 weeks of preseason action. But first, as always, Corey's going to recycle other Adam Schefter tweets in the primary read.
This is the primary read.
First things first, Brett, thank you so much for outing me and where I get my insight from during the primary read.
That's why all of your news items are 140 characters or less, right?
Precisely. CJ, precisely, to be exact.
Wait, that all deserves right. A sound effect. Let me just find a good one. How about a drum?
I think that's the first time I ever earned a drum. First things first. Our brother from another mother, with whom we share all of the same pigment and none of the same athletic ability, Jordy Nelson, returned to his first full practice today. And all the indications are that Jordy looked like Jordy. He, of course, is coming off of that ACL tear that kept him sidelined all of last season and the early camp knee tendonitis that really caused a lot of potential Jordy owners to have a little bit of doubt and question about whether or not his second round ADP is appropriate coming off of a missed season. But Randall Cobb said that Jordy looked like himself, that he was out there running deep routes, doing what he does best for the Packers offense. If he is back to full form, this will be a big boost to Aaron Rodgers. And hopefully, as I know you, me, and Patrick have all already drafted him this season, hopefully the reports from the very unbiased Randall Cobb are correct.
Newsman Randall Cobb. Yeah, it is great news that he's finally back at practice. I was getting ready to drop him pretty significantly because this dress rehearsal week 3 was the important target deadline that he did not play in. So I'm still a little worried about that health, but definitely a good sign today.
Yeah, and another situation where I need to take a step back that we kind of referenced earlier. I mentioned Tony Romo being in my top 12 group of quarterbacks, and I cautioned that he did have some health history But when he is healthy, he has been an elite quarterback. That was the big condition that I put on him in there, and he proved why I needed to put that condition. After being removed from last Thursday's game with what Jerry Jones insisted was not a serious injury, we found out that Tony Romo broke his back. I don't know about anyone out there who has suffered a broken back, but kind of tough to play football through it. Romo is looking at about a week 8 return, which means basically the Cowboys are going to be in the same situation they were in last year. Dak Prescott, the rookie, is currently slated to be the starter. The Broncos are so eager to get rid of dirty Mark Sanchez that they actually contacted the Cowboys themselves trying to unload Sanchez as the veteran clipboard holder while Prescott remains the starter. This is really disappointing, not because I was expecting Tony Romo to light the world on fire, but it looked like a good opportunity for Dez Bryant after a down season due to injury last season to come back and resume his role as a WR1. Now it's much more murky.
So where do you rank Dez? Has he fallen out of the first round?
He's fallen out of the first round for me, and I actually had a draft on Sunday night where he was available at the 20th pick, and I passed up on him. And it was tough to do, and I still have mixed feelings about whether or not I did the right thing, and it's kept me up at night. But Dez himself, even though he claims to feel unstoppable and ready to go for this season, he's been going through concussion-like symptoms himself right now. And so it kind of raises the same questions that we had about Dez coming into this season, which is his health also a concern? So I'm backing off on Dez a little bit, certainly backing off on Tony Romo. And I don't know, where are you putting Dez?
So before, I liked him a lot. I think I had him at pick number 10 overall. I think the sixth best wide receiver. Now I'm dropping him 3 or 4 wide receiver spots, so taking him in the middle of the second round. So he's now behind, in my book, behind Allen Robinson, Brandon Marshall, right there with, in my book, Jordy Nelson and Mike Evans and Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay. Where does Keenan Allen fit into that fold?
Keenan or Kel? I would say Keenan
is
right after them. Right after them.
Okay. And finally, a bit of Homer news. Carlos Hyde exited Friday's preseason 49ers game with a concussion. There were health concerns with Carlos Hyde last season. He showed flashes of brilliance, but also showed flashes of being injured. With Chip Kelly running the offense, the Niners are going to be running more plays. There is going to be less time between snaps for Carlos Hyde to recover. I don't have a lot of confidence that the Niners offense is going to spend substantial amounts of time on the field this season, but if things go according to plan, that's a lot more opportunities for Carlos Hyde to get injured. I think we talked about last week him being a bit of a surprise reach in the draft that we had going 31st overall. I still think that's too early for him, and I think that this is something to remind everyone that the 49ers have a quarterback controversy between crap and unpatriotic crap, and they have a certain crappiness, just aura to them heading into this year, that it's tough to be too excited about their running back, even with what Carlos Hyde has shown us.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little low on him. I think you said it last week that he's going to start the first half with a bunch of carries, and they're going to go for 3.5 yards each, but few scoring opportunities, few second-half carries.
And, Brett, that just don't cut it. But
don't cut it.
That does cut the primary read. We're done.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the year, someone like Carlos Hyde, if our projections are correct, if he finishes right at 1,000 overall yards, maybe 800 rushing, 200 receiving or something, that might be the exact same as Frank Gore. But Carlos Hyde is going, you know, around pick 33, and Gore's going at 65. So both of those guys would be fine in a deep league, but in a 10-team league, both are fairly useless. Of course, the big difference is where you can get them.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, so as you mentioned at the top, you and I literally just finished a 16-team league with a bunch of Stanford alumni, and Corey is the lone Berkeley alumni representing. Why don't you tell us your team name and just a little bit about your team?
My team name in there, kind of as an homage to your alma mater and mine, is Luck Goff.
I love
it. Or Andrew Luck and Jared Goff. I had the third pick overall, and it was pretty tricky because I had been doing a lot of 14-team mock drafts to kind of find the middle ground between this 16-team league and most of my others being 12-team leagues. And the talent really thins out in a 16-team league. I ended up taking Kelsey at about the 62nd pick overall in the fourth round and being like, oh, sweet, I got Travis Kelsey. And then I realized I don't really like Travis Kelsey, and it's the fourth round. But I needed a tight end, and I did not want to be in your situation where I'm starting Zach Miller.
What? You should be so lucky.
This was also a tougher league because you were in it, your wife was in it, and several other people who know fantasy football pretty well, know how to take advantage of and exploit the Yahoo rankings, were in there. And so I had guys queued up who were 50 or 60 slots down in terms of their Yahoo pre-ranking, but they were flying off the board just because people knew where to dig.
Guys like James White, Kristen Michael, Devin Funchess.
Yeah, and even some more obscure guys who I'm kind of targeting with my last pick of drafts, like Alfred Morris or Chris Thompson, who are just an injury away, as Chingy is only one phone call away. You know, we've seen Alfred Morris have a very productive preseason. We have heard some injury concerns out of Ezekiel Elliott. If Zeke goes down, this is going to be Alfred Morris's opportunity to do what Darren McFadden did last year and what DeMarco Murray did 2 years ago and be a productive running back running behind the best offensive line.
Yeah, I think that's a great call in the late rounds. His ADP is around the 10th round, so you can get him pretty dirt cheap. In this league, he went at pick 179 because it was so deep. That was like the 11th or 12th round. But Chris Thompson, for that matter. When you're looking at running backs, you ask yourself, what needs to happen for this guy to have value? And in some cases, it's only one thing.
Go for it, Brad.
No. You can give your overall assessment and start sending me trade offers if you want.
Yeah. Overall, I like the look of my team. It was a very risk-averse team in that I took a tight end and quarterback slightly early compared to other teams because I wanted to have someone reliable at both of those positions. But, of course, that meant that my bench suffered. And when the bye week blues hit, I'm going to be doing some pretty exciting plug-and-play options.
Yeah, I do like, in a 16-team league, I like the Robert Griffin III pick, just for the upside. You know, in a 10-team league, like, I get kind of excited about the possibility of Griffin putting it all together, especially if Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, and Terrell Pryor all live up to their potential, and Gary Barnidge is there, and Duke Johnson out of the backfield. And if RG3 stays healthy, it's a lot of ifs, but he could be very good. And in a 10-team league, though, it's like, I'm not really going to waste a roster spot on him. In a 16-team league, he's worth owning.
Yeah, and I also kind of picked him up in this league for the sole purpose of you picking two slots after me and you still not having a quarterback. And in the off chance that RG3 does go off this year, I didn't want you to get him in the 12th round and suddenly kick everyone's asses.
Well, that was good strategy. We talked a little bit last week about how to adjust your cheat sheet to your league largely based on tiers. You know, are you only going to be happy if you have one of the top six quarterbacks? Do you think there's a pretty decent tier of another seven quarterbacks after those top six, and then it drops off? It's up to your assessment, and obviously you and I have our own opinions about that. But I thought in a 16-team league, every single week there's going to be at least 32 running backs starting in our league, and there's only 32 NFL teams. And when the byes start, there might only be 24 NFL teams starting, and there's still going to be 32 running back slots in our league. So I thought that would be the biggest premium. So I started with three running backs in a row. I think I'm pretty loaded at running back, and I'm hoping that once people get desperate, then I can work a trade. And I felt even more comfortable with that strategy, thinking with my personal tiers, looking at the end of the tight ends, looking around picks 15, 16, 17 in ADP. I kind of like Jared Cook there. I can live with him. Around quarterback, let's see who's going around the end. There's some people that I could live with. You know, and I was even thinking I could target Blake Bortles and Tom Brady in the late rounds, seventh round or so. But what I did – oh, Kirk Cousins. That's a guy I like towards the end. I didn't count on other people taking backup quarterbacks in the mid rounds because that really screwed me over. So I ended up with Ryan Tannehill with pick, 160 or something, and Zach Miller in pick 150 or something. So not ideal. You know, you can come in and like really plan it out and think about your strategy, and then it can sort of backfire if people don't do exactly as you expect them to do. But I did start with David Johnson, LeSean McCoy, and Thomas Rawls. And I ended up pairing Rawls with Christian Michael at pick 133. So I'm pretty happy with that, that running back squad. And grabbed Melvin. Oh, I started with four running backs. My fourth in the fourth round was Melvin Gordon at pick 60. Was having a pretty good preseason. So that's that. You know, I'll just need to find someone with two decent running back or quarterbacks or two decent tight ends. And if they're starting Isaiah Crowell in their RB2 spot, then they're just desperate.
Thanks, bud.
That's you? Oh, my gosh, how embarrassing. I mean, actually, in a 16-team league, Isaiah Crowell, assuming he leads the Cleveland backfield in touches, could be an every week starter. And obviously, like you said, you have strong players at other positions, including quarterback and tight end. All right. Well, talking about drafts, I forgot to play this drop. This is so embarrassing. What we just did, folks, what we just did just now is we rated our draft.
Rate my draft.
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 But the thing about drafts and fantasy teams is sort of like telling someone about your dream. Like, you'll never believe the dream I had last night. And it's sort of like, well, it didn't happen, so it's not that interesting to me. And y'all out there want to hear about undervalued players, overvalued players, so that you can use our advice, put it to practice in a draft instead of just hearing Corey and I talk about our own teams. Right?
I want to hear more about our teams.
Well, in the first round, I took this guy. In the second round, I was like, should I take this guy or that guy? But I took this guy. Okay, so now that we're done talking about our dreams and our drafts, we're going to tell you sleepers and busts. And when we say sleeper, we're not talking about someone you get in the 16th round. We're talking about undervalued players, and we're going to talk about overvalued players. So these are our list of guys that are going to underperform and overperform their current ADPs, guys to target and shy away from in your drafts in the next week and a half. Corey Hammond, who do you like and or dislike at the quarterback position?
Well, I'm going to preface this by reiterating what you just said, because I think it's a point that really needs to be made and driven home. The guys that we're going through, we're kind of beyond the days of true sleepers and true busts because of how much the fantasy football market has been saturated with information. And so when we were talking 2 weeks ago about guys that we really liked, we've seen them already rise 20 spots in the rankings, and guys that we're shying away from, we've seen fall 20 spots in the rankings. So,
I mean, if you think Cam Newton should be a first round pick, then you could call him a sleeper.
Yeah. But it's funny that you mentioned that. Cam Newton is actually a quarterback who I'm shying away from. I think that at his ADP and where he's going in drafts right now, he is overvalued. And so, you know, I hesitate to call him a bust. But in terms of where you're getting him in the end of the second, early third round, I think that the top six, and in my opinion, top five, because I don't really include Big Ben in that group of elite quarterbacks, I think that they're all going to have pretty comparable seasons. We've already discussed that we think that Cam is going to regress a little bit due to the strength of schedule that he's facing this year. But I also think that his rushing totals from last year are going to be difficult to replicate. I think that the Broncos defense, obviously not every defense has the same skill set and weapons that the Broncos do, but they showed a little bit of a blue plan or a game plan of how you can pick apart and slow down Cam Newton. And I think that with that in mind, Cam Newton's ADP and his position as the first quarterback off the board is too early.
You're an Aaron Rodgers man, right?
You know, I like Aaron Rodgers, I like Andrew Luck, and I like Drew Brees. I think that A-Rod might end up having the best fantasy season this year, but he's going just a few picks after Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. I'd rather take Drew Brees in the fourth or fifth round than Cam in the second or third, because then I can pair Drew Brees with Jordy Nelson or T.Y. Hilton, as opposed to pairing Cam Newton with Doug Baldwin or, you know, I like Dante Moncrief, but some of those fourth, fifth round guys who I'm less excited to have on my roster.
I also like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Andrew Luck. If you're going to get one of the top five or six quarterbacks, the names that of those five or six that you don't like are obviously Cam Newton and the other guy, Russell Wilson, who's currently going at spot 50, I believe, and that is Kevin's bust, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
A quarterback that I've already talked about, the two that I don't like, and they're going right outside the top six, right at like seven or eight, or maybe six and seven, Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer. And the guy I like that we haven't talked much about yet is Kirk Cousins. He's going right now as the 14th quarterback. So in a standard league, you can wait until the pretty much the end of your draft before grabbing him. He was the fifth best quarterback last year. Someone who you can really believe in. And unlike Roethlisberger and Palmer, he has a shorter career. Last year was the first year that he started every game. So, you know, it's not like a blip on the radar. This is, right now, his whole body of work is, as a starter, is last year. That's what we have to judge him based on. And it was pretty awesome. And by the way, that was with his number one target, DeSean Jackson, missing significant time. Last year, DeSean basically only played half of the season. He's got DeSean Jackson, he's got Pierre Garçon, and he's got Jordan Reed, who's allegedly the second best tight end and the second bust tight end. So Cousins is my late round guy, which also leads me to DeSean Jackson being a sleeper. I think he's going very late and he's sort of not exciting. He's been around for a while and, you know, last year he only played half the season. So you might think he's injury prone, but the year before he had about 1200 receiving yards almost. And if Kirk Cousins really does maintain his current skill and status and DeSean plays the whole year and is the number one target, you know, this is a candidate to be a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that where DeSean is going right now is undervalued. Another guy that you didn't mention, who's going to be part of Kirk Cousins' receiving core, who showed some pretty impressive skills last season, is Jamison Crowder, who is someone who I like just in very deep leagues. If he does pan out, if he does end up being able to supplant Pierre Garçon as the number two, which he showed signs of doing last season, I think that he could end up being someone who's worthy of riding your bench and who you can get with the last pick of your draft.
Ride that bench. Right now, DeSean is going right next to Sterling Shepard, Devontae Parker, and Michael Crabtree. All number twos with upside. And DeSean is literally right there, the same ADP as Sterling Shepard right now. But I kind of like Shepard, but not as much as DeSean. DeSean's a number one with a good quarterback. So it just don't make no sense. So that while we're talking about wide receivers, are there any wide receivers that you want to be judged by? Sleepers and busts.
I do not like Doug Baldwin. I think that the touchdown production last season really inflated his value with 14 scores. I think that that's one of the more difficult numbers or more difficult stat lines to replicate unless you're a true red zone target, which Doug Baldwin is not. I think that the the Seahawks are not going to be a passing team. I think that Russell Wilson is a very dynamic and good quarterback, but I think that the Seahawks are going to be shying away slightly from passing in the red zone. And I think with Jimmy Graham back, they're going to have a true red zone target returning. And so even if the yardage and targets remain consistent for Doug Baldwin, I think the touchdowns drop off significantly. And when you look at his ADP, he's being drafted as though he's going to replicate that same fantasy point production, which just isn't going to be the case if he's losing half of those touchdowns from last season.
Definitely agree. It'll be a touchdown regression. And I think a lot of the reason people like him is they think that the Seahawks will pass more this year because Marshawn Lynch is gone. But look at the preseason. You know, Thomas Rawls was a beast last year, averaging almost 6 yards per carry. And Christian Michael's been awesome running the ball this year too. So I actually don't think it's going to all of a sudden become the Saints. I think they're going to still run the ball, and Baldwin's upside will be limited.
Yeah. And, you know, Tyler Lockett is potentially threatening Doug Baldwin as the number one receiver.
Sure. Any other wide receivers? Otherwise, you can hear the correct answer, which is mine.
You know, now I'm kind of curious about the correct answer, but one other guy who I do like and who's going real late in draft boards, just because of the position and opportunity that he has, is Marcus Wheaton. There's been a lot of talk about Sammy Coates being the sleeper, but Marcus Wheaton still has a pretty tight grasp on that number two slot for the Steelers. He's going to be playing opposite Antonio Brown. We know that Big Ben goes to the air with a fair amount of frequency. And even though we're not huge fans of Big Ben over here at the FFMVP, he's still going to be throwing the ball enough to support a number two receiver, particularly with the question marks that Ladarius Green is posing at tight end. Marcus Wheaton is in line for a serious number of targets, and he has shown flashes of great skill and some pretty disappointing freshman and sophomore season campaign kind of rookie mistakes. But I think that heading into this year with a more stable and solidified role and with what his ADP is, he's someone worth grabbing later in drafts.
Yep, I love Marcus Wheaton late. There's been too much hype over the other guys and not enough for him. And I would say an honorable mention in that category would be Brandon LaFell, who's going undrafted in standard leagues, but looks to be the starter opposite A.J. Green, so should see plenty of single coverage. Devin Funchess should be second in the wide receiver depth chart in Carolina. And, Marvin Jones in Detroit. But the true best wide receiver sleeper is actually Brandon Marshall for the second year in a row for me. He's someone last year, last year's probably my worst year of fantasy ever, and I've been doing this for 42 years. But my best pick last year is Brandon Marshall. He's going in the fifth, sometimes sixth round, and I was like, I don't get it. He's got a competent quarterback. He's still in the prime of his career. And sure enough, he was the third best wide receiver last year. So that was my best pick by far. This year, of course, you can't get him so cheap. His current ADP is 17, so he's, you know, like you said, when defining the word sleeper, it's hard to call someone who's going at pick 17 a sleeper. But he's someone I consistently find on my teams just because I'm willing to draft him early in the second round. And like I said, he finished third in the league last year. He has 8 seasons with over 1,000 yards. And I feel like his ADP, the reason that people weren't going to draft him as the third best wide receiver again is because there was so much uncertainty with the quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick has signed, and his ADP hasn't really changed at all. So I don't really get that. You know, with Jordy Nelson still chugging along, trying to get fully healthy, Alshon Jeffrey has been playing in the preseason, which is awesome, but he's got nagging injuries as well. And Dez Bryant, with jokers at the quarterback position, I see Brandon Marshall creeping up my own personal cheat sheet, so someone I like to target in the second round.
Yeah, I like Brandon Marshall to have a solid, productive year this year. One guy that I just want to comment on who you mentioned there, Marvin Jones, he is one of my sweethearts, but he's skyrocketed up the rankings, and another guy who we talked about earlier who we didn't like has plummeted on the rankings, and I think there's been almost an over-adjustment there. Kelvin Benjamin has gone from the third round to the fifth or sixth round. Marvin Jones has gone from a, you know, eighth round flyer to now in the fifth round and is ranked ahead of Kelvin Benjamin in Yahoo's standard rankings. I think that all the risks that we've discussed with Kelvin Benjamin have been more than adjusted for with his plummeting rank, and now he's kind of approaching sleeper territory or undervalued territory.
Yeah, and it all depends – when we talk about sleepers and busts, it all depends on what site you're using and your league mates and their average draft position at the time, because a lot of times there are overcorrections. And, for example, I did want to mention my honorable mention for quarterback is Blake Bortles, just because he was so good last year, and this year it's so trendy and sexy and cute to be like, oh, their defense is going to be so much better. His interception and touchdown ratio is going to change, and he's going to be garbage this year. He can't afford to make so many mistakes. And you feel like if you draft him in the first six or seven rounds, people are going to be like, haha, you're chasing last year's stats. But it's, I think, definitely an overcompensation. You know, I'm not drafting him as the top four quarterback again, but top 10, definitely. You know, he's someone that's got two elite weapons. Just an honorable mention. Moving on to the running back position, the one guy I want to mention I like is Melvin Gordon, just because he's had such a good preseason and someone that you can get really late. Again, maybe an overreaction to last year where he was drafted so early and supposed to be the feature back in San Diego and completely let everyone down. Maybe he takes a sophomore step forward, and at the price that he's going at, you can afford to take that risk. Any running backs you like or dislike?
One running back who I think is a little overvalued, again, looking at his strength of schedule from last year compared to this year, is Doug Martin. He obviously had a very productive year last year, but he's had few standout seasons despite being in a very similar situation. And so I think that he's being drafted as though he's going to repeat last year's numbers, and I don't see that happening. I think Charles Sims is going to be a threat for carries, and he's going to be a more dynamic receiving back. And I think that the entire Bucks backfield is going to take a step backwards from last season. I still think that he's going to be a productive running back, and it probably is an RB1. But in terms of the wide receiver talent that's being drafted before and after him, I'd rather take a WR at that position.
Would you rather have Doug Martin or Latavius Murray?
You know, Latavius Murray, unfortunately, is another running back that I'm getting a little shy on. I liked him because of the fact that the Raiders looked to be an improved team. He looked to have limited competition, and we knew he was going to be seeing a lot of carries. At this point, though, with the way that the preseason has been shaking up, he's going to be seeing some competition for carries. Jack Del Rio has really been kind of limiting his touches in the preseason to try and see who that number two option is going to be. And my thinking for why they're trying to solidify a number two back is because they want this to be more of a two-headed monster. I still think that Latavius Murray is going to be seeing a lot of carries, but in terms of him being a running back who I thought was really undervalued, I think his ADP is more appropriate now. And I was actually a little sheepish when I took him in the draft tonight in the third round at around the 44th pick or so, only because I wanted a Raider. But I would rather have Matt Forte than Latavius Murray at this point.
Well, Latavius' current ADP is 32 overall, so you did get him at a value. So I can't fault you for that. While we're talking running backs, I do want to let you know that Kevin Hammond sent in his picks by proxy. He likes T.J. Yeldon. I actually agree with Kevin on this one. T.J. Yeldon is going very late. You know, there's a lot of running back by committee guys that are going before T.J. Yeldon. And, I mean, Yeldon more or less is in a committee. You might disagree with Kevin and I, because I know that you want to have Chris Ivory's child, but Yeldon has had a decent preseason, and I think is looking to turn this into a 2/3 to 1/3 split, but we'll lose some goal line carries to Ivory.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with Yeldon, but the reason that I'm not going to be more adamant with my Chris Ivory support here is because of where they're being drafted. I think that their stat lines will be pretty comparable, or their fantasy production will be pretty comparable, but you can get Yeldon later.
Fair enough. And a running back that Kevin does not like, predicts to be a bust, is Eddie Lacy. He's going right now at 16 overall. Lacy was a huge disappointment last year, but all indications are that he's lost a bunch of weight. Fat Eddie has become Thin Eddie. Weight Watchers work for him. And that with Jordy Nelson back, Packers offense is going to turn it around. But Kevin doesn't like him. And I will say that last year, Eddie Lacy had 202 touches compared to 191 for James Starks. So just about a dead tie. Eddie Lacy did miss one game with an injury, though. That's Kevin for you. Tight ends, any tight ends you like or dislike?
Well, I wanted to touch on two running backs that I like.
I'm sorry, please.
Yeah, we've talked about him before, so I won't say much, but Jeremy Langford, he's a starting running back. He has limited competition. The guys behind him, particularly Kadeem Carey, have not really panned out or impressed. So this is his job. He's going to be seeing the lion's share of the carries. And with his ADP, I think he's more comparable to a Frank Gore and Latavius Murray, and you can get him several rounds later. Another guy who I like late in drafts is Darren Sproles for deeper leagues. I think that Ryan Matthews is going to have a tough time really securing that starting role. I don't think that Darren Sproles is going to threaten him as an every down back, but I think he is going to be getting more involved, particularly on third downs and as a safety blanket coming out of the backfield. If you need a plug-and-play option during bye weeks or in deeper leagues, I think that Darren Sproles will have some productive value, maybe 400 rushing, 400 receiving.
Maybe. Any tight ends?
Tight ends, you know, I think Colby Fleener is someone who we've talked about, and I think there's almost
Colby. Nice.
I think there's almost been that over-adjustment with him. I do think that he will be productive. I do think that he will be one of several focal points for Drew Brees and the Saints offense. He's going right around Delanie Walker and just after Travis Kelce right now. I think that in terms of Delanie Walker versus Colby Fleener, I'd probably prefer Walker just because he's done it before. I think there's a little bit too much speculation going into Colby Fleener, and he's turned from a sexy deep tight end option to someone who's being drafted just outside of the top five.
Yeah, I like Fleener too. And you compare him to Walker, I've said it before, but my busts at the tight end position are really after the top two, Kelce, Greg Olsen, and Delanie Walker. I just can't really imagine them taking a step forward. So maybe they'll repeat, and that would be great, but I can also see them maybe taking a step backwards, for various reasons. So I don't think they're worth drafting in the third, fourth, fifth rounds.
I am intrigued by Jared Cook, though.
Oh, that's my sleeper. He's going in the 12th round. He looked great. The Packers look like they're making the focal point of the offense. He is a name that you've heard of because he's showed flashes of talent before. And if Aaron Rodgers finally has a good tight end, you know, even Jermichael Finley had a good year there. Jared Cook was the guy that I was targeting in our 16-team draft tonight, but of course someone took him much earlier than his ADP indicated. Sounds like you agree.
I agree, Brett.
Good.
All right, kickers.
Kickers, sleeper kicker, soccer players. It's Kevin's sleepers that I haven't mentioned yet. Tajay Sharp is someone who I've also mentioned before that I like. He could be the number one target in Tennessee, just competing with Rishard Matthews, and he's shown up well in the preseason. You can get him in the 11th round. Kevin also likes Matt Ryan, and here's where I slightly disagree with Kevin. Matt Ryan is going in the 12th round, so I can't really say he's overvalued. I just don't really see him putting it together this year. I mean, last year he was the number 18 quarterback playing a full year, playing with Julio Jones, putting up insane statistics. So I don't see how Matt Ryan is going to be better this year. Of course, 2 years ago in 2014, he was the number 6 quarterback, so he has had good seasons before, but I don't know. I'm just not buying it.
Yeah, it's tough when Julio put up over 1,800 yards last season and Matt Ryan still finished so low. Like, if you have one receiver totaling essentially half of a decent quarterback season yardage, what the heck are you doing wrong with everyone else on your team?
Yeah, I mean, he's all they have. That's why Matt Ryan is bad while Julio is so good. Their tight end is, I think, your mom. And their second wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu, is he like a huge step forward from Roddy White or Harry Douglas or whatever? Evans, one other bust that he would want me to mention is Brandon Cooks, currently going at 27 overall. I don't think he's hugely overvalued, but I could see where Kevin's coming from. You know, he was pretty disappointing last year. We're assuming that he's going to be the number one target of Drew Brees and get 100 catches, but you know what happens when you assume? You make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, I mean, Cooks just has an issue in terms of competing with other mouths to feed.
Yeah, a lot of mouths to feed in New Orleans. That's all of my sleepers and busts for you to judge me by. That's all of Kevin's. Do you have anything else, or can we finally let our listeners hit the hay?
Yeah, I'll go out and hit the hay now, you hear?
It's going to be a busy draft week. We'll be back with some combination of Patrick, Kevin, Brett, Corey, this Thursday. Don't forget to get Tony Romo in the first round.
Bye. Thanks for stopping by.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.